Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm your host, Pat Lencioni, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Cody Thompson. How you doing, Cody?
Back in the office. Love it.
Great to see you sitting across the table. Too. And we've got Tracy Noble, our producer here. Hi, Tracy.
Hi.
By the way, I was listening to a podcast the other day. I was playing it for one of my 18-year-old son, and his comment was, Tracy's really good at this. And he didn't say anything about mine. I think he was like annoyed by me, but he was like, oh man, Mrs. Noble, I really like her.
My wife was always like, you need to let Tracy talk more. Shut up.
No, she's wrong. I don't like talking that much.
We've got Matt, our engineer, on the computer. How you doing, Matt? Matt nods. Cody, what's our topic today?
The topic is change is easy, transition is hard.
That's right. Today, we're going to talk about the idea that people in organizations and as individuals don't like change, that they resist it even when it's good for them. And while that may seem to be true in one sense, in reality, what people struggle with isn't change itself, but rather the process of undergoing change, which is transition. And that's not splitting hairs, because understanding the difference between these two concepts is critical, and it can make the difference between successful change and outright failure.
And I can't wait to talk about this because we use this so much, but this isn't our material.
No, this isn't my material at all. It comes from a man named Bill Bridges, who passed away a number of years ago, a very nice man. And he wrote a number of books about transition and how to deal with it. And I met him because my wife was in class with his daughter in college, Margaret. And so I heard what her dad did. I didn't know much about him. And I met him once. And I had no idea until I met him that he was like the worldwide expert on transition and change. And so I got to go to his classes and he taught me these concepts. And we've been using them for 25 years with clients and friends and family. We talk about them all the time and they're wonderful. So God bless Bill Bridges for that. And let's talk about this huge and important understanding of the fact that people like change. They want improvement in their lives or in their business or in their companies. But what they don't like is transition, and it often keeps them paralyzed.
Yeah, I love that this is the framework for this, the hat that we're putting on it, because I've been here now for 6 years, and at different stages in our company, we've gone through different levels of change, and you've actually gone through this model with our whole company probably a half a dozen times.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until last week when you said it as succinctly as that, is the people don't mind change, it's the transition that is the problem. When you think about moving, hey, you want to move to a new or different house or a different state or wherever. That actually sounds great. The end state of actually moving to a new place. It's the transition that we resist. And that clarity actually helped me interact with this model in a new way, even as recently as a couple of weeks ago.
And change is it's a concrete process. It can happen on a spreadsheet. You can design it. It's really what we call a decision science. Is it the right thing? Mm-hmm. And that can be analyzed fairly coldly and intellectually. Transition, on the other hand, is a messy, emotional process that involves a lot of things that we would prefer to avoid in life. And so we will oftentimes look at something that makes sense and opt against it because of what it's going to entail on us emotionally.
Right. And what he does, Bill Bridges does really great in a, like really articulately, is that we all sort of intuitively understand this, like that ambiguous transition stage, we all resist just by nature. And he put some words and some language to it that allow you to go like, oh, that's the thing that's preventing me from moving along in this model. And so there is this, it's interesting, you know, our listeners can't see it, but there's a model that goes along with this that has a very narrow opening and a very narrow ending, but a huge middle, you know?
It's like the flag of France, where it goes from three different stages, but they're connected. Mm-hmm. And so we'll talk a little bit more about that. Today on this podcast, we're going to be focusing mostly on the very beginning of the process of going through transition, because that is where people get held up and they get stuck. So we're going to be talking about that first part of the process. Now, Tracy, you and I have been through many, many organizational changes and transitions together.
Yes.
And can you relate to this to any of the things we've gone through?
Oh gosh, I feel like this, I need to hear this right now. I mean, this topic is particularly relevant right now, just with everything going on in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, both, you know, in the work environment, and I'm going through stuff at home right now. So I feel like you're talking to me. this is hard for me. Transition is really hard for me.
You know, Tracy, and it is for most people. And what's interesting, whenever I did this on a corporate basis, I remember years and years ago, the first time I did classes on this was at a company called Netscape.
That's
now,
right.
Somebody out there will go, oh yeah, Netscape. They were the search engine or the,
yes.
Or what would you call that? They were the, not a search engine, but they were like the place where people interacted with the internet.
Yes, that's right.
And then they went out of business. Everybody thought they were going to be around forever. But when they started laying people off, they called me in to do the transition stuff around their strategy and around what they were doing. And what I was amazed at is how much more people applied it into their personal lives. Mm-hmm. They were like, oh my gosh, I can totally relate this, and had these amazing stories. And we're going to share some of those with you here today. But another way to look at this before we dive into those is so often we look at life and we think that decisions we make are going to determine whether we have success. Like mergers and acquisitions in companies,
yep.
Most mergers fail. And people will look back and say, well, it was a bad decision. It's like, no. The decision wasn't bad. It's just how you managed people through it on an emotional level is why it didn't work. I mean, you can look at this, and again, on a personal level, there's marriages that don't work. And people say, well, they should have never got married. And the answer is, it's not necessarily that they weren't a good match, but did they do what was necessary to really unify themselves and build a new relationship?
Well, and I love that too, because it's not just around, you know, it's not just about committing to the change, right? This speaks to the emotional, interpersonal dynamics that prevent people from embracing change,
right,
or transition. And so it's not just, hey, the merger and acquisition, we're going to make this work, you know, and that's not the way to make it work. It's not necessarily just committing to it, although that's part of it, but it's looking at the ways that people experience transition and losses and addressing those things. Because if you don't do that, no amount of commitment is going to get you there either.
I remember years ago, a football coach, a head football coach in the NFL, who I happened to know, I got to know him kind of accidentally. His team traded for a super high profile player, a guy who's now in the Hall of Fame. He's a great player. And it didn't work. He moved on to another team. But I remember after they brought him in, I said to this coach, so are you going to have this guy over for dinner and get to know him and work on like the transition part, the emotional part of this? He said, no. We know what his stats are. We know what he knows how to play the position. We're just going to let it be. And that's one of those crazy things. Nobody thinks that you shouldn't deal with the emotional process of change. But so often we think, well, this is how tall he is. This is how many passes he caught last year. We'll slide him into our offense and he'll be great.
Totally.
And how often do we miss the biggest things in life because we think it's really an intellectual process rather than an emotional one?
Well, and Pat, every example you're using is a positive one. So every example, they're all positive. And we think, oh, well, you know, we're trading for a new player, we're buying a new house, we're acquiring a new company. These are all good things.
Right.
But we still have to go through the transition.
Well, see, and that's the irony, Tracy. It's a great point. Most people think about, there's a four-letter word that's involved in every kind of change or transition. And it's loss. And people will think, oh yeah, that makes sense. And it's like, no. You have to understand, positive change involves the same amount of loss and stress and tension as negative change. That means getting married and getting divorced, same amount of loss.
Right.
And yet nobody says, hey, my condolences on your marriage. I'm sorry, you must be struggling. But the truth is the losses come first. Having a baby or losing a loved one, same amount of loss.
Yep.
Losing your job or getting a new one, lots of stress and loss, but we congratulate people on the positives, we console people on the negatives, and that's why so many people go through positive things in life and say, why am I so miserable?
Well, imagine like the one that everybody talks about, winning the lottery. I mean, the losses that you would experience as we go through the seven that Bill Bridges lays out, I mean, they're all of them are in there. You know,
like, absolutely.
It's just incredible that you could take something that everyone is like, oh, that wouldn't that be amazing? And know that there's going to be losses that accompany it.
Now, the beauty of this is Bill Bridges actually cataloged the seven kinds of loss that people feel. And I love this because I would go into like on the training class I went into, these people were losing their jobs. And they said, can you come in and help them with transition? And I remember explaining the loss thing to them and saying, so what are you losing? And I thought they were going to chuck their bagels or their donuts at me and say, hey, you idiot, we're losing our jobs.
Right.
But they all had totally different answers based on what they were going through. See, that's the thing. Three different people can go through exactly the same change and they'll experience different kinds of loss, whether it's a positive or negative. So here's the seven kinds of loss that Bill Bridges put out there. One is loss of identity. So I always identified myself in a certain way. A classic there would be like, my wife, when we got married, changed her last name.
Right.
Huge loss of identity. She had that identity for 25 years. Now she had a new one. That's huge. Another one is loss of turf. Like, I had control. Sometimes it's physical turf, like my home or a job description that I had, and I was in charge of this system or this product. And so loss of turf. Loss of structure is another one. I had things planned out. I knew how my life worked and how every day went. Loss of control. I used to get to make decisions for myself, and now I don't. Like, you get married, it's like, my condolences, you've lost control. What do you mean? Well, those golf clubs in your trunk of your car, you don't get to use them whenever you feel like it.
You can put those in the attic.
Exactly. Loss of future. I thought my life was going to go in this direction. Things change, and suddenly this whole future that was working its way out in your brain, if you hadn't even been specific about it, that changes. Loss of attachments. Attachments to people. Mm-hmm. Like, oh gosh, I always thought they would be a part of my life or that I'd get to see them every day. And finally, loss of meaning or purpose in life. God, I always thought my life was about this. Tracy, you are an empty nester now.
Yes. Gosh, so much loss there. I mean, it's crazy. Can you have all of those?
Well, this is the hard thing. Sometimes people go through a change that involves a ton of those. But when I worked with those people leaving Netscape, I remember one guy said, hey, for me, Pat, it's all about identity. This is the only job I've ever had. Half of my clothes, t-shirts, underwear included, says Netscape on it. I'm the Netscape guy. My friends totally, I've had this job for 5 years. This is what I think of my life like now. This is longer than I was at a college. And suddenly that goes away tomorrow. So another guy said, well, that's not it for me. Mine was attachments. My whole social network is here.
Right.
All my friends, I do most of my fun stuff with them. So my attachments are, I don't know how I'm going to deal with that. And another guy said, mine is kind of structure and future because my kids just started college and I knew how I was going to pay for that through my salary and through everything else going on. Now that's gone and I have to figure that out. Totally different. Challenges.
For the exact same experience.
Yeah.
As you lay these out, and we've done this in different points, like around our company or different things that have happened. And it's true how much it applies, not just in business change or losing your job. It's like, every time you do this, I go home and I'm like, oh man, we're thinking about, you know, this next stage or this next chapter, or where do we move? And realizing that you can go through and identify, oh, okay, this is my loss. This is the thing that's going to prevent me from actually entering into transition. Because I'm going to hold on to this too much.
Right.
And we do that, you know, I'm thinking about this like, hey, tonight, Lindsay, who listens to this, we're going to have a conversation around some of the decisions we're making, because it's so true. It's universally true, whether in business or in your life.
Well, let's think about, Cody, you can still relate to this and we can too, or the first time you had a baby, right? Your family. So what did you lose? Now, people aren't going to say, oh, it's going to be a bummer, but go through this like,
man,
like turf, huge.
Turf.
Yeah. Every spare place in your house is now
we have 3 bedrooms. Now there are a human in every bedroom.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And there's toys and there's breastfeeding things and structure. It's a nursery. Yes. Structure. If you want to sleep through the night, that is not, who knows what your sleeping structure, but control. You don't even get to control when you go potty.
Yeah.
That's right. It's like, I really have to go to the bathroom. Well, somebody else just did, and you're going to have to change their diaper.
Well, and identity, you know, identity was, we were married for five and change and traveled around and did all this. And now we're home and we have a kid. And imagine, like,
and
this is the best thing that's ever happened to us. And even in the midst of that, we had to deal with all of these changes and embrace some new ones.
I remember when Matthew and Connor were born. My identity as being a dad hadn't changed. And I remember going to Safeway the first time and thinking, oh my gosh, what happens if I leave them in the store? Because now I can't go for a moment without thinking that I'm a dad. But I remember thinking, what happens if I forget that I'm a dad?
Yep.
And I'm pushing my groceries out. Oh my gosh, I have kids inside. So,
well, but even think about that. I mean, it's kind of that example is great because I think we all know someone who actually is still holding on. Even after they've had kids, like they hold on to, oh, my identity. I'm not willing to give that up.
Right.
You know, like, or, and so they haven't actually entered into this transition model. They haven't gone all the way through. Now my identity is as a dad, not as anything else, you know,
number one.
And so you do have to actually take the first step, the losses means you have to let them go.
Right.
You know, before you can enter that.
Right. Other losses are loss of future. You know, like, what happens if your kid really loves the violin? Did you ever think you'd be going to a violin concert, you know, or whatever else it is? Yeah. And that would be great. But like, I didn't know what lacrosse was when my boys were born. That was their sport. So now I feel like I have dreams that I'm getting to play lacrosse because I never got to, you know, like I'm way too old. Attachments to people. Mm-hmm. Now think about that. You have a baby. How does that affect attachments? You have friends who don't have kids.
Yep.
Or don't really like that. You probably aren't going to see them as much.
Right. But I still expect the invite, guys, if you're listening. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
And then finally, loss of meaning or purpose. Well, in that case, whatever you thought it was before, it's being 90% of your persona and your meaning and purpose every day is that.
Right.
And Cody, then you have to look forward to when you're in Tracy's place. Imagine when your third or fourth child, you have two, but I know you're going to have a couple more. But when they leave.
I know. I'm trying to figure out a way. No, we'll figure
just
it
keep
out by then.
More.
Yeah. Exactly.
The point of the matter is, a great thing in life, having a baby. We could go through the same thing of getting married, mm-hmm. getting a new job, getting a huge promotion. Great stuff. It still involves loss.
Well, and here's another interesting thing about this is some of the change you choose, like we chose to have a baby, some of it happens to you. And right. So things happen to people like the people at Netscape. They lost their job. They're not choosing that necessarily. But what happens is, if you don't deal with this, if you don't actually have a framework for understanding that there are losses I'm experiencing and it happens to you, you can get stuck in that spot for far too long. You had a great story when I think you tell this almost every time about the woman that told you about her husband in the midst
right.
of this.
Well, the thing we have to explain is when something happens that you lose it, whether you chose it or not, you still have to choose what you're going to do about it.
Right.
So like, let's just say, okay, you're losing your job and it's the attachments to your friends that are going to be hardest. Well, you don't just go, well, I don't know what's going to happen. You have to decide, how am I going? Viktor Frankl in Man's Search for Meaning and Walter Chizik in this other book called He Leadeth Me. The worst things in the world, they were thrown in concentration camps during World War II. But if you believe that you can choose how to respond, you can maintain your peace. Mm. So this guy was losing his job. And the question is, what's your response going to be to losing your friends? Is it going to be, you're going to try to restore it, which is I'm going to talk them all into going to the same company, or I'm going to beg for my job back.
Right.
Usually we don't do that. My wife got laid off from a job because at age 27, she got the chicken pox, which is really serious. So she was going to be out for a month and they laid her off. Totally bogus, unethical, probably illegal. But when she got better, she had to decide, what am I going to do? Am I going to go try to get that job back?
Right.
So that's the first option, restore. She said no. Second one is replace. So is that guy going to go, well, I'm just going to go find new friends instead of these attachments? Laura was like, am I going to go get another job doing the same thing for a similar company? That might be their choice. The third one is redesign. And that is, am I going to rethink how my friendship is with them? Maybe they're not going to be work friends. Maybe I'm going to start seeing them socially.
I'll have to be more intentional outside of this. Yeah.
Exactly. Or maybe a few of them all. And then the fourth one is, I'm going to relinquish. I'm just going to let go. You can choose. They're no longer part of my life. Mm-hmm. My wife decided to redesign her job and became a contract recruiter on her own. Because she lost her job, she didn't choose it. As bogus as it was, she said, I don't want to go back, restore. I don't want to replace it with another one. I'm going to redesign what it means to have a job, and I'm going to start my own little company. And the final choice is to relinquish. And I suppose she could have said, I'm never going to work again. That wouldn't have been so easy for us at the time. But anyway, the point is, we have to choose. Yep. And if we don't choose, we get stuck. We become a victim. And that's the key here. So I had a woman in my class, I used to teach a lot of classes on this, who said, my husband lost his job. She said, he's so bitter. And he calls his colleagues every day and complains about what happened to him. And he won't take a job. He's just doing like temp work here and there, but he's just so stuck. And I said, how long ago did he lose his job? She said, 12 years.
Wow.
And this is a true story. I was in the room. She said, 12 years. He'd been bitter and complaining and not moving forward because he just saw himself as a victim. And all he had to do is say, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
It's up to me. My wife took a very bad situation and made it great because she actually liked her job more. She made a little bit more money, had more freedom, learned things she'd have never learned, not because she chose to, but because something happened to her that brought about loss and she chose her response.
Yeah. You know, and let's contextualize this a little bit. Part of the reason we wanted to do this podcast right now is because of change is happening. We're all thrust into transition. And back in late last year, we did a couple episodes on, you know, plant your tree and burn your ships. And it's somewhat related to this, but there are probably still people out there who are didn't plant their tree, who didn't burn their ships earlier on. And now we're into a year of this COVID lockdown, shutdown, things are still in transition. And I think that I imagine that there's so many people out there who still haven't made their choice. They haven't come to terms with what are the losses that I'm experiencing, whether that's a change in work or that you're working from home, whatever it is, there you're thrust into this and you have to choose one of those four R's, you know?
And sometimes change really sucks that you didn't pick it, but you can make it work for you if you accept it and choose what you're going to do and be forward thinking about that. And I would be remiss if I didn't say and have faith in God. God brings good things out of difficult situations, but not if we complain all the time and don't do our part. Now, the last thing I want to say about this, which I think is really critical, is the way to deal with all this. First of all, you have to catalog, what am I losing in this change? Okay, which of those seven things? Identity, and Matt's going to put the notes up from this on the podcast. So if you want to look at those, identity, turf, structure, control, future attachments, meaning. Second thing, how am I going to respond? Am I going to try to restore it, get it back? Am I going to try to replace it? Am I going to redesign or relinquish? But once you've made those decisions, it's really critical that you do one last thing, and that's you have to find some way to ceremonialize the end. Mm-hmm. You know, years ago, I heard a story, a technology company was merging two divisions. And what do most companies do? Ladies and gentlemen, starting Monday, Division A and Division B will now be Division C. I hope you go, that works well for you. Be nice to each other.
Right.
But they said, no, this is huge, this merger. So they actually got them all into a big room, and the gal in charge of Division A and the guy in charge of Division B went to the front of the room. They all sat on opposite sides and they exchanged vows. Like, I take you, Division A. And they said, it's the marriage between these divisions. And they had a big celebration, like a wedding reception. Well, nobody after that day said, I don't think they're serious about this.
Right.
We have to, people say if you skip your wedding or a funeral, you have a harder time moving forward after it's over. So I was in a class once, I was teaching a class, and a woman said, I broke up with my boyfriend a couple years ago, but I would never get over it. I talked about him all the time, and my girlfriends were like, gosh, this is driving us crazy. Just let go. And she couldn't do it. Finally, they went into a room, and she had this little ceramic pig that he had given her as a gift, and she kept it, which I'm pretty sure is why they broke up. Yeah. Here, honey, it's a pig. Anyway, they took it up to the local mountain over here, Mount Tamalpais, and they buried the pig. They had a ceremony for the pig. And she said, when we walked away from there, that's when I moved on. Mm. She needed a marker. And that's why if you leave a job that you've had for a long time, celebrate with your friends or your family. Find a way to say, this is the moment that it's over.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be some big exchanging of vows. Like, I remember even in this office when we were trying to transition customer service from one person to the other, we all answer the phone, but there was one primary person. And it was funny because that person kept picking up the phone. And so just one day randomly, we're like, how are we going to fix this? We lit a candle. We took the phone out of its jack and walked it, like marched it to the other person's desk and set it down.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. It was like, now you answer this phone, you know?
And everybody, as silly as that seems, it took, you know, 4 minutes and everybody said, it's over.
Totally. This is why they, you know, a lot of cultures do quinceañeras and different demarcations for people going into adulthood, because we're particularly bad at this in the US. We don't say like, we think like, oh, your driver's license, maybe that's the thing, but we don't have these demarcation lines. And so what happens is, you have this like extended adolescence, you know, like, oh, I can move back into your place whenever I want, you know? And I think that this ceremonializing of things can't be stressed enough, even if it's something small, to say, hey, I'm letting go of that and I'm moving into something in the future.
And now with COVID, there's a lot of ceremonies that are getting shut down and stuff because it's like, so my kids graduated college and a lot of kids graduated from high school. We found a way in my kids' college. My wife made up all these things, and we went down there and had a graduation ceremony in the backyard of their fraternity because the school was doing a totally lame online thing that nobody wanted to watch.
Matt's just shaking his head.
and they imbibed some alcohol, I believe, too. And the point is they won't forget that day.
No, they won't.
And so we need to ceremonialize things, whether it's small, whether it's large, because people need closure. Now that's the end of today's podcast, because that's all we're going to talk about is the beginning. Change and transition are different. Transition involves dealing with loss, even in positive things, choosing your response, and ceremonializing the end. And in our next episode, we're going to talk about how to get people through what's called the neutral zone. Because once you've had that ceremony and said goodbye to the past, then you enter into the hardest and most productive, fearful and innovative and growth-oriented and scary part of all, which is called the neutral zone. And it's fantastic and hard at the same time. And we're going to give you some very concrete tips for getting through the neutral zone into the new beginning. But until next time, we want to thank you for joining us on At the Table. As always, it's great to have everybody back in the office. And we'll see you next time. God bless.